The Holy Gospel, this 13th Sunday after Pentecost, comes from the Gospel of Luke in the 12th chapter. Jesus said, "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in one household will be divided, 3 against 2, and 2 against 3. They will be divided, father and son, the son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." Jesus also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately say, 'It is going to rain,' and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be scorching heat,' and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. This isn't the Jesus that we're used to. This isn't the nice, comforting Jesus who might occasionally challenge us just a little bit, but usually just gives us words of comfort and hope. Now, the Jesus that we hear in our gospel this morning is one that doesn't play as nicely as we would like. This Jesus doesn't offer words that would go great on bulletin boards and bumper stickers. No, this Jesus is maybe a little bit frightening. Maybe even a little bit threatening. But it's a Jesus that we need to hear. We need to hear this Jesus because it's far too easy for us to gloss over the urgency that Jesus and his disciples felt. We need to hear this Jesus because if Jesus was just full of forgiveness and grace and lacked any edge, then we probably wouldn't be responding as urgently as Jesus calls us to do to various ministries we have in life. Well, truth be told, the Jesus in our gospel reading today makes all of us probably just a little uncomfortable. I know he makes me uncomfortable. He makes me uncomfortable in part because whenever I speak of Jesus with you all on a Sunday morning, I can declare with confidence that we have a Savior who loves us and offers us grace. This Jesus makes me uncomfortable because, to be honest, there is much more of threat to us in these words than most words that we hear from our Savior. Now, I'll be honest, if it were up to me, this text from the Gospel of Luke would probably not be among those that I would consider preaching from. But that's why we have a gift that is known as the Revised Common Lectionary. Now, for those of you who don't know, the texts that come up on a given Sunday aren't determined by me. They are determined well in advance by this rotational structure that is known as the Revised Common Lectionary, and I just have to work out how to preach on the texts that appear on a given Sunday. Let's just say that some weeks are a little bit easier than others. But because in our context I'm not just cherry-picking my favorite texts to make you all feel good, there are times where we are confronted with a different kind of gospel. A gospel that doesn't seem to contain much, well, gospel. And what I mean by all this is, if I were left up to my own devices, there would be a very good chance that we wouldn't be talking about the division that Christ can cause. Were I left up to my own devices, I'd be preaching this sermon number 75 in a row on the wonderful nature of the grace that is given to us through the death and resurrection of Christ. But those who have put for us this common lectionary together have actually given us a gift. It's a gift because when we are challenged by texts like these, we are challenged to go into a deeper, richer gospel message than just singing the words, "Jesus loves me," over and over again, which is really an okay place to start. But we're challenged with a gospel that speaks to the risk of choosing Christ. We're challenged with a gospel that warns us that Christ isn't just going to tell us that it'll all be okay no matter what. Because sometimes the results of following the gospel message of Jesus Christ means that things aren't always okay. Sometimes, despite our best efforts, things can't be okay. You know, I really don't think it's okay when families are split apart over issues of faith, but still sometimes we see it happen. It was an issue that hit very close to home for those earliest followers of Jesus Christ. After all, sometimes we aren't all of one accord. It happens in our family units, and it happens in our churches. It happened before Jesus' time. It happened after Jesus had been resurrected. And I don't know how we could expect it to stop happening now. But truth be told, when we think of Christ our Lord, we think of him not as this great divider, but we think of him as a uniter. It is Christ who brings us together around word and sacrament. It is Christ that bonds us together in common witness. So how is it still that Christ also divides? Now, I think that if I were to pull any four people from this church service today and ask the question, what do you think is the most important thing for people to know about Jesus? I'd probably get four somewhat different answers. Now, sure, most of the broad strokes might be the same, but there would be some important nuance in there that would be different. Who Jesus is for each of us in our individual experiences in life is different. So then I'll add this to the equation, a follow-up question then. What is God's will for Messiah? I think that if I were to ask that question, I think that we would get a lot of different types of responses. And this is all with a common witness here, a common guide from our holy word, from our traditions of Christ and our Lutheran traditions, that would, you'd think, offer for a common understanding, a common experience of Christ Jesus. I wonder how much more chaotic it must have been for those early followers who were hearing different stories about Jesus from different places. How were they supposed to explain to their families that they wanted to follow this Jesus of Nazareth, who some heard was a horrible person, some thought was a savior? How could they possibly be united in all of that? Christ challenges his disciples, his followers, and Christ challenges us. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. And I think division is present for us all. It's present in the different visions that we all might have for Messiah. It's present in how we respond to some of the many challenges that we face in this world. But I don't think it's all about division. Indeed, I suspect, and this is just a little bit of a suspicion, I suspect that Christ's talk about division is actually more about unity. What I mean by that is, when Jesus begins speaking in our gospel today, we hear first a sense of urgency. The fire that Christ brings, he wishes, was already kindled. The baptism with which he baptizes brings him great stress until it comes to completion. Christ is actively working. Christ is accomplishing his work. And in the meantime, he sees what is happening, what will happen. Houses will be divided. Houses are still divided. But division is not the way that it has to be. For we are called, along with Jesus Christ in all of this, to come to unity, to come to completion of the work that Christ was doing in haste. We are invited to let the chaff of all of our disagreements pass away in fire until only the pure hope that we have for one another in Christ Jesus remains. For in the end, the details, the small things do not matter nearly as much as the one great truth of Christ casting the vision. What we share about our Messiah is not nearly as important as how we then live in gratitude in response to him. For as we continue to be refined by living and serving together here through this place, I believe that all discord, eventually fades to the background. For what is truly important, what truly guides and unites us, comes forward, is moved forward, becomes foremost as we go forward in faith toward that which I believe truly unites and lifts us together. Christ our Lord, the one who gives us hope, the one who challenges and unites us. Christ our Lord, and with him, hope for all the world. Amen.